This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Sharmila Ganesan. Homegrown performing arts company Terry and the Cuz has been busy these last couple of years taking Malaysian theatre to an international stage. Last year, they premiered a production off Broadway in New York City, and they have a slew of international shows coming up. They are also giving local audiences a taste of their recent work with a preview staging of Made in America, which starts tomorrow, March the 13th to 15th. The show will premiere later in April in New York. Joining me today are the founders of Terry and the Cuz Productions, Govind Rubin and Terence Conrad. How are you both doing today?
Pretty good,
fine,
actually.
Fine.
You guys have actually had an eventful kind of past year. What's been the highlight of it for you?
The highlight of 2018, I guess, was performing in the public.
Mm-hmm.
That was, I think, the highlight of my year. I don't know about Govind's.
Yeah, I think, the public was great, but my personal favorite was actually doing Skin in rural Victoria, where we had a season of the work in Bendigo. So Skin was a work we made in 2015, or we started making it in 2015 in collaboration with Tanaga Nita and Australian artist Ashley Dyer. It was a work that was based on true stories about human trafficking, forced migration, and asylum seeking. And it was a work that we did in the genre of contemporary dance. And that work, you know, had before that had done Penang, Kuala Lumpur, and Adelaide, and then Melbourne. But there was a one night in Bendigo where you see rural country folk watching contemporary dance, and it was kind of, for me, that night was the highlight of the year.
You just had to make your answer more emotional than mine, and
more
depth.
Yeah. He managed a top premiering off Broadway.
So, by the way, Skin's been nominated for 3 awards.
And yes, what are these awards?
It's been nominated for Green Room Awards in Melbourne. It is the industry awards in Melbourne. We've been nominated for Innovation in Site-Specific Responsiveness and International Collaboration.
And Govind is up for an award for Best Set and Lighting Design.
Yes.
Congratulations.
We'll find out April 1st if we are winners.
We're fools or not.
Yeah. Whether we're fools or not, yeah. April 1st in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And April is also, end of April is when your second off-Broadway show is going to open.
When it rains, it pours. Huh?
It sounds like it's going to be a good couple
Malaysia.
Of months.
Yeah.
It's like Terengganu.
So what is the show that's going to be opening in the Public Theatre this year?
The show that's going to be opening is Made in America. It's a rework of the work which we staged last year. As people who did come to watch the show at the B where it was held, the work has been evolving. And after our three show showing at the Public last year, we got a lot
four
of feedback.
Four
show showing. We got feedback from the public. We got feedback from the audience. And, of course, our biggest critics are ourselves. And we realized that there's a bit more we could push the show. It could evolve a bit further. And that is what is now Made in America form.
Just want to add that the four shows in the public went really well, that they then turned around and said, would you like to come back and we'll give you a proper one-month season?
Mm.
And it's the only thing we would like you to do is change the title.
Oh, right. So last year was Thicker Than Water.
Yes.
So this is actually sort of the same production reworked?
It's a follow-up work. It's sort of a work that takes into consideration all the elements that we had in Thicker Than Water and also improving it because it has now, it needs to sustain a month's run in New York. Plus, the Americans actually felt like the work, kind of spoke to them in a way that re-examined a lot of how they perceived how America was perceived from the outside. And hence, the public suggested that if we are going to do a longer run, a title that is going to catch the attention, like Made in America, was the way to go. And hence why the title change and also about a 40% change in the writing and the script and the direction of the play.
Mm. So, and that is that going to be the version that we will be seeing in KL starting tomorrow?
Yes, so the version that you'll be seeing in KL tomorrow is actually the final development before we open. So it's the last kind of trial and testing of all the elements. Of course, the run in Bobo is a scaled-down version of the show because the Joe's Pub at the Public is actually three times the size of Bobo.
And what is Made in America about?
Made in America is the idea of how everything which America exports it makes them seem like the best. And we, in the end of the day, we want to go there. The idea is that if you look, if you want to be the best in music, if you're in Asia, the highest, the pinnacle is the Grammys. If you're in the movie business, the pinnacle is the Oscar. And if you're in theater, it's the Tony Awards. And it's all these ideas which America, the bars which America sets and makes people want to go there. But now the idea is they don't want you anymore. And the second thing, which is the show explores, is the it shows how much pop culture America exports and how that is their greatest export. It actually influences people from the streets of Bangkok to in South Africa to Rwanda. If you go and sing a popular pop song or a popular celebrity, they are more likely to know these songs or these people than the top newsmakers or what is happening in any other part of the world. So I mean, was the idea of the show.
It's the greatest marketing campaign of all time. Mm-hmm. You know, it's sort of like, why do we go? What is America going to do when a meteor strikes Earth? Like, why do we root for Rocky Balboa over Ivan Drago? It's like, who was Chris Hemsworth before Thor? It's like, America has set itself as the modern-day Rome, where the outside world goes there to seek its validation. And I think this Made in America examines that. It's like, why do we want to go there? Why do Terry and the Cars want to make a show off-Broadway? Mm. Like, why wasn't Pantas 1KL Pack enough? You know, like, why there? And why, after going there, have we gotten... Why is going there the highlight of our year, you know, to Rihanna?
We know more movies, more TV than people in America watch themselves. So it in the end, it's this idea that everything we see on TV, all right, gives us this idea, this illusion of what America is. America, and you watch an American war movie, American soldiers are brave, strong, they die for their country. You know, that's the benchmark, you know, you clap. It's all these things which the standards they have set. But in reality, with what is going on in their politics, what is going on in their society, with ideas with Black Lives Matter, with their current president, it's completely in contrast. Mm. So it's such a conundrum which when you face when you go there and you see all your heroes, all these ideas which are not exactly what they portray and they export to us.
Superman ain't that super anymore.
Well, that's interesting that you say that because you are critiquing that idea, but at the same time, like you mentioned earlier, Govind, you are engaging in that standard as well. You are kind of setting that as a benchmark for yourself. I mean, I find that contrast interesting because what have you learned for yourselves as arts makers in this process?
I think that's exactly, I mean, on your point there, I think that's what this show is. The show is a double take on itself. It's a double-sided mirror. It's about us wanting to go there and then us going there. You know, like when America put out that ban for these Muslim countries and they said and people went crazy and like, I would go, why do you want to go to America? Why do you care if they ban you? You know what I mean? And it's that's why I said, I think it's this idea of this self-examination of why do we seek validation from there? And, you know, and for us, you know, when we were writing the script, both Terry and I spent a month in New York and a month in Canton, Ohio. So we were in Ohio on the 16th of January, 2016, when Trump was inaugurated. And we were the only colored people in the bar. And it was interesting. You know, when you saw how much pride these people in Ohio had, that one of them was now president of the United States. And a week before that, we were in New York where, you know, it was like doom and gloom and the end of the world. So, you know, and for that for us is fascinating because I think coming from Malaysia, where we are pretty centrist and, you know, and we want to assimilate and we just kind of, you know, we live in a society where sometimes we like this and sometimes we like that. And what we realize is that when you go anywhere we go, we try and take on, you know, whatever everyone is doing there to just fit in. And I guess that is the plight of the modern day immigrant. Like, I think the immigrants coming to America these time, they don't really have a right or a left. They kind of go like, if I'm in New York, I guess I'm going to have to say this. Or if I'm in Canton, I guess I'm going to have to say that and say football and woohoo and USA.
And it's absolutely right. When you go to rural America, you meet immigrants who say they're against immigration. And you're like, what is this? Are you serious? Like, how do you think you got in? Then they go, oh, I'm against illegal immigration. Yes. That's like, so it's such a paradox when you go there. And that kind of, this is what we try and examine in the show.
So when you bring that show back to Malaysia then, what do you think is going to resonate with a Malaysian audience?
Well, this is the funny thing. We wrote the work. So we also based between Kuala Lumpur and Melbourne. And this work was co-written by three other writers who are all Australian. And we had a residency at the Abbotsford Convent. which is an amazing location in Melbourne. And when we wrote the script in September 2017, we had a staged live reading in a bar in Melbourne, followed by a live version of the development at the Bee in Publica. And in both cases, we took feedback. And, you know, and everyone kind of enjoyed the show. They kind of understood the nuances and they could see. But almost in every single one of the feedback, they went, wonder what Americans are going to say.
Americans won't get it.
Yeah, I mean, oh, I don't think they'll have the sense of humor to kind of cope with this sort of
You're poking fun at them and complimenting them.
And you got this from both the Malaysian and the Australian audience?
Yes, okay. Because they've both kind of seen, this is of course the development of Thicker Than Water.
But you got to understand, any country besides outside America has grown up on American TV, has grown up on American movies, music, you know, so... And so they're very similar when it comes to your taste in popular culture. So they had it resonated with them the same way it resonated with the Malaysian audience who had grown up on such
things. And the funny thing is actually, you know, the biggest reaction we got was, you know, when the shows were successful in New York was Malaysians going, really? They liked it? You know, and because no one thought, or at least from some of the feedback that we were getting from some friends, it's like, oh, I don't think they're going to get it, you know. So just make sure you make the most of this time in New York because I don't think you're going to go back. And we were like, you know, and so we went there with kind of that nervousness, you know, within us. And then to kind of see how opening night, you know, and of course, we opened on the 18th of May, which was a week after the 9th of May where Malaysia kind of changed governments. You know, so it was kind of this very fascinating euphoria where a lot of Malaysians also gathered in New York to watch the show. And it kind of just transcended, like, you know, the work kind of went to another place and, you know, and Americans were like, you know, this is the work America needs right now. And, you know, it's a comedy, but I think in times of crises, comedy or laughter is the best medicine. And somehow it weirdly felt like we provided this weird antidote, you know, that kind of lifted spirits and kind of re-examined people's Americanness. And, you know, so it was kind of a... And then when we came back, they went, really? They want you back?
Well, who are the people who are going to be in the show?
Douglas Lim and Gavin Yap.
So they're the same actors that were in the previous staging as well, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we tried to get them replaced, but then we couldn't. Everybody else was more expensive. So we said, okay, Douglas and Gavin are pretty...
And Douglas gave us a pretty good discount.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm sure they're listening. I'm sure they're thrilled. And what about the supporting cast? Do you work with a cast in New York when you're there? And then here, is it being staged with a local cast?
Well, the fun thing about this show is you never know who's in the show. So... every city, so and again, the way the show is built, it's built as a touring show. So every city we go to, which at the moment there's a lot of interest. We are talking to a couple of festivals around the world and also a couple of presenters in America itself who are now very keen to bring the work. And one of the key things that they enjoy or they like about the show is that every city we go to, we have a 2-week rehearsal process with local actors from their city. Mm-hmm. And it can be very big names, but we never reveal who they are. So the surprise for the audience when they suddenly see so-and-so is on stage is actually quite a fun experience.
So you're talking about bringing your show to different stagings as well, but you also have other productions that are in development that you are going to be, I think, working in various places around the world, right?
The next project for us is actually, it's a story about Penang and Adelaide, actually. It's called Light. And Francis Light, who everybody knows, stole Penang. I can say that on the radio now.
It's spun. You know, everything is spun, isn't
everything
it?
Is spin.
It was spun that he founded it, but now you
it
know
was
he
there
finally
before.
Stole it. Yeah,
Penang always existed, and his son William Light went on to found the city of Adelaide. Was one of the founding fathers of Adelaide, and they have this weird history where father and son are very similar in what they wanted to achieve in their life and what they could not, because what was imposed by them by class, by status, and because William was half Malaysian, half...
Right.
Yeah, so the central protagonist of this film was actually Martina Rosells, who is...
the mother of William.
And the lady keep person of Francis Light.
Wait, sorry, you said of this film?
of this show.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's a show.
Govind's head is somewhere else. Yeah, so the whole story is being told from two very interesting angles on this woman who there is nothing in history about. The British East India Company took a lot of trouble to erase her from history books. So it's a very interesting take, and we get to play around with that and try and understand William's relationship to his mother and how he became, and then Francis and his partner or wife.
Yeah, and we spent about 2 years working on this project and talking to historians, and we've been doing this with the director and writer Thomas Henning, who's an artist friend of ours and collaborator from Australia. Thomas also kind of worked with us on Flatland, which was another project that happened a few years ago.
Next, and also after that...
So Light will be during the Georgetown Festival.
Well, we're in discussions with them to do a reading of the work at Georgetown Festival, which is in July this year. And then after that, we will do a showing in KL. We're still looking for a venue. Most theatres don't like to have us. we've sent a couple of emails and we haven't heard responses.
Maybe our email is down.
And, maybe you talked about getting discounts.
Maybe. And
discounts? We asked for free. That's why they didn't reply us.
And after that, we most likely will be opening at the AusAsia Festival in Adelaide.
We are opening at the AusAsia. What do you mean most likely?
I mean, it's this email. I haven't seen any black and white yet.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, but, so we're opening at the AusAsia Festival in Adelaide with that project. Mm-hmm. Made in America goes to the Melbourne Festival then.
Again, it's a big chance it'll be at the Melbourne Festival. We still haven't had 100% black and white.
Govind's very...
I'm
supposed to be the contractual person.
Under promise, over deliver. we've got Made in America, most likely going to Melbourne. We've got Light at AusAsia in Adelaide. We are also... we'll have a European premiere of Skin in Lithuania, in Vilnius, at the new Baltic Dance Festival in May of next year. And we are also currently working on... So one of the great things that happened... One of the great things about America...
Right, oh, dear. All right.
Is that, you know...
USA.
When
USA.
You've drunk the Kool-Aid.
No. It's also that. It's like when you're there, suddenly you feel like things just happen. So the four shows that we had for Made in America... it was a kind of a great leg-in into this scene, which is the New York theater scene. And very quickly, word spread around that there was this show and lots of people came to see the show and we met lots of people. And through that, now we're actually creating a new work, which is a plan, a work being created for Broadway titled Split.
Mm-hmm. It's a work in progress.
We have a residency to develop it at the Asia Society in New York. And we have a stage reading of the work scheduled for January in 2020 with hope that that work will then be a production that goes on Broadway in early 2021.
So off Broadway to Broadway.
And when you say... You aim to go to Broadway. What does that actually mean? Does that mean you have interest already? Is there a tentative engagement?
Yeah, so basically there are Broadway producers who saw Made in America that have started conversations with us.
And asked us, what's next?
And when they asked us what's next, it was, you know, with some steak and wine in a very expensive restaurant.
Right.
You know how it is there, it's a business. So they actually invest and take an ownership in your show. It's very common from Hamilton to the Book of Mormon to all this. Do you actually get funders to back the show?
Do you want to tell them the story about Lin-Manuel Miranda and Hamilton and what happened after he staged it in the public?
A lot of people think, Hamilton is making a lot of money.
But yeah, really, it is.
It's minting. It's in Vegas. It opened in London. It's opening in London. It's in Chicago, New York, and tickets still cost a bomb. And everybody thinks it's Lin-Manuel Miranda is making a lot of money. He is, but it's not as much as people would think. He's making about $6 to $7 million a year only, because the people who actually put in money, including the public, have take most.
Which is where Made in America is going to show.
Made in America is going to show. Actually, take a chunk of the receipts because they bankrolled the show. The public gave the venue free. They gave all the tech hire free. People also put in money, so they take most of the money. And when the show travels, they literally own huge chunks of the profits of the show. So when people came to see us, what's next? They actually ask us about what's the viability. They are looking at viability of script, viability financially and how much they can make out of it. Mm. So when we are telling them, it's like, oh, okay, that sounds like an idea which is going to make money. So hence why we are doing this reading. Once the script is over, the producers will listen and go, okay, I'm going to put in so much.
Right.
So that is what's going to happen.
So you must get asked this all the time, right? It's not easy for a performing arts company from Malaysia to end up staging a show off Broadway and potentially on Broadway. How did you guys get here?
It was not that hard either. I mean, just never take no for an answer.
Yeah, I think that was very important. And I think the second thing is that we knew from a very young age when we started, we knew what we wanted to create. And we wanted to create works which spoke to a larger audience. And Govind spoke, but we wanted to tell it from a truly Malaysian type of storytelling, but international quality production. And I think that is what has taken us this far. I mean, whatever, even Made in America has two Malaysian actors playing two Malaysians with a cast of five Americans. So even the show that took us there is all about Malaysia. And I think that is what has made us, set us apart from everybody, because there's a sense of honesty to our shows. Because we're not telling other people's stories. We're always telling our stories, and which has made us unique. And I think we tell it in a very, very challenging way, which the audience goes, wow, I never knew that I could watch a show like that and go, wow, that show has actually challenged me to think how I feel, how I think about this subject, or how I feel about the performance. So I think that is what has set us apart. And yeah.
And I think, and just similarly, I think, you know, I think there was a time once when Terry, you said to me, should we do a script? Should we just do a regular play? And I don't know why we didn't do it at that time. And, you know, and now I think about it, it's actually quite amazing to look back of all our 8 or 9 productions that we've done, and all of it have been original works in the span of 9 years. Like, we've made 9 original productions that were created from scratch. And I think, you know, and it being created coming from two Malaysians, and also realizing that, you know, we are also very, very, very fortunate to be living in a time when it's really hard for the white man. And, you know, and being brown and being Asian, it's I mean, you know, suddenly it is the cooler perspective. Mm-hmm. It is the post-colonial trauma is sort of kind of wearing off. And, you know, and people want to hear the diverse voices, and right. It's almost cool. As, you know, which is exactly what the public thought was sexy about this idea that a Malaysian show was going to be presented there.
And it's very true. I think 30 years ago, I don't think we would have been given this opportunity to present it in America. Or we would have been made to tell a very American story, which people could go, oh, wow, this is American, I can understand. And I don't think they wanted 30 years ago, 20 years ago, to hear stories like ours. But now, with everything which has taken place over the last 15 years, 20 years, the diversity that's coming, the issues which has cropped up, stories like ours, stories like many other Asians, Africans, are getting told to larger and larger audiences. That's thanks to theatre, thanks to streaming services and Netflix, making the world a smaller place for everybody to understand each other better.
So with all of these shows that you are presenting, not just in America, in many parts of the world, what do you hope to show them about Malaysian performing arts?
I mean, you know, that's the thing. You know, I don't know if it's Malaysian performing arts. I don't think we've ever thought of ourselves as Malaysian performing arts. I mean, we are Malaysian, but what we're just doing is art that reflects where we come from.
Yeah, we always told that if people ask us, oh, your art must stand out first, and Google, where are you guys from? Oh, Malaysia. Mm. Oh, wow, that's interesting. So the art should speak for itself first. And then people go, where are you guys from? Oh, really? Oh, that's interesting. Pleasure to meet you guys. So that's what we've always
English?
Tried to be.
Do you speak English? Do you speak English?
Oh, we've been asked
English?
That before.
Your English is so good. Your English is so good.
You guys wrote that? Wow.
In English?
In English.
Yeah.
So that still exists.
Oh, it exists everywhere. It's quite funny.
Well, thank you very much for coming on the show, and all the best for everything that you have coming forward.
Please, please do check out the show at Bobo tomorrow. Plays all this weekend, and you can go to www.terryandekers.com.
www.terryandthecast.com. When you get on that page, there's two links. There's Bobo KL. Click the Bobo KL. If you click New York, it'll take you to the American ticket site, and then you'll just be disappointed.
But you can buy a ticket to America.
You can buy a ticket to America as well.
Come support us in America.
Come support us in America.
You know what? Buy a ticket to America.
Yeah, buy a ticket to America. We need more Malaysians in the audience.
Thank you for that detailed instructions and for that invitation to the States. Now, only that came with a flight ticket, I'm sure everybody would be very happy.
www.malaysiaairlines.com.
I've been speaking to Terence Conrad and Govind Rubin of Terry and the Cuss Productions. The company is staging a show called Made in America from tomorrow, March the 13th to 15th at Bobo KL. The show is a preview of a production that will be premiering in April off-Broadway in New York City. The tickets for the KL show are priced at 70 ringgit and available at bobokl.com. And also
www.terryandthecuss.com.
Yes, in case that wasn't clear already. If you missed any part of this interview or any previous Front Row segments, you can download the podcasts on our website, on our BFM app, or on Spotify. You've been listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.